Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a very frigid Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where, gosh, it was 80 degrees again yesterday, Glenn. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 3rd, 2012, episode 307, sponsored by Audible.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, I don't know when to start talking, Glenn, because this is all brand new. I like that.
No.
Good job.
Thank you. I did stay up late last night working on that for you.
All right. Well, you can't start a Tuesday without a little bit of Dan Roberts, so I love it. hey, just wanted to let you guys know, listeners out there, we had a long discussion yesterday about the movie War Horse, and just wanted to let you know how it actually fared in the box office this past weekend. The top movie, number one, why anybody would want to go see stupid Tom Cruise over a War Horse, but Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol grossed $38.3 million, followed by the one that Glenn went to see, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and this is all in the U.S., $26.5 million. Number three, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. Yes, the name of the stupid movie is Chipwrecked. Are you kidding me?
Are you telling me Alvin and the Chipmunks beat War Horse?
All right, well, Alvin and the Chipmunks came in at number three with $21 million, and War Horse, number four, which is really good, $19.2 million this past weekend. So it has gone from seventh when it opened up all the way up to fourth in the box office, and so far it's grossed $45.2 million since it was released on Christmas Day. Now, for our international listeners, it does open in New Zealand on January 12th and Great Britain in January 13th. So they only have a couple weeks to wait, but definitely, as my review said yesterday, go see it, bring a box of tissues.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I heard from our friend who's the veterinary student, Rochelle, over there in Slovakia or Slovenia or whatever, one of those Ania countries. And she said that it opens the 18th over there, and they're all excited to go see it. And she said, but she's also not a very squishy person doesn't like Disney movies a whole lot. And I said, well, it'll be interesting to see how you feel about it.
It's not a Disney movie. You just think it was Disney-fied. Do not give them credit for this movie. This was Steven Spielberg production, okay? But it did not beat Chipwrecked. That's Chipwrecked with a C-8.
The only thing I can think of is that it was a holiday weekend and parents had a lot of time to bring their kids to the movie.
That's twice in a row, by the way. Chipwrecked has been in the top five two weekends in a row.
Seriously, I can't understand the whole Mission Impossible thing. We saw, like, the first Mission Impossible, and that was, I think, the last Mission Impossible we saw. Look at that, a lack of plot storyline.
I don't know. The Mission Impossible thing, to me, is just kind of annoying because I think Tom Cruise has just... he's just run his course. You know, he was great in the 80s. He's fantastic in Top Gun. And then pretty much it went downhill from there.
In my opinion, you think Tom Cruise has jumped the shark, huh?
Tom Cruise jumped the shark when he jumped on the Oprah's couch. See, remember that? Exactly. That's when he started getting crazy.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up? Save us today.
On today's Audible.com Tuesday edition, join the fun today as we continue our discourse on the New Year's unresolutions, find out how our super amazing horse travel gal, Darley Newman, knows all about Jamie's Christmas gift, and following the brief musical interlude, our first Horse and Country TV update of the new year, headlines abound.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And where is it? Oh. Well, for my Daily Winnie today, I have to do this. Well, that is for our little friend, our adopted bug, Callie Francois, who is celebrating today her 21st birthday, and I'm happy to announce that she is doing that after a 28-hour drive. She's doing that at Gulfstream Park in Florida, getting ready to start her bugginess with a very famous trainer down there. So she is there. She's in amongst the 80-degree palm trees and getting ready to start riding. She's probably riding this morning. So,
hey, you know what?
Happy birthday, Callie. Yeah.
She's in good hands because she is currently down there with Todd Pletcher. And by the way, for the second year in a row, Todd Pletcher is the nation's leading trainer in earnings. Leading trainer in the nation, okay? So she is in good hands. She should be a fantastic 21st birthday down there. Todd's got some money. Maybe he'll throw it at her. There you go.
Well, you know, it always helps to start at the top because that's going to look real, real good on her resume.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so good job. All congratulations. Right. Happy birthday, Callie. Your turn.
That's right.
All right. Well, here, let me tell you who's not getting my Daily Winnie. Our listener, Lisa Bick, is not getting my Winnie. I'll tell you who is getting my Daily Winnie, Rhonda Crabtree. And here, I'll tell you why. Words with Friends has taken over my life. It's now beat out Angry Birds. And my husband yelled at me last night because he's like, "You don't look up anymore. You just dumped that stupid phone." I'm sorry. And then I just hand it to him and then he plays it for a while. However, I had we had a very strict agreement, Rhonda Crabtree and I, that we decided we would play Words with Friends. And she's a listener we've never met, but how we would not let our husbands help, because if our husbands got involved in the whole game, it needs to be just the two of us to make it fair. And I am currently in the lead. This is by far the first time I have been in the lead only once, and it is currently right now with Rhonda Crabtree, 211 to 117. The game is not over, but an update there. However, Lisa Bick is not getting my Winnie because she kicked my butt 314 to 239. So, screw you,
Lisa.
How
do you know when a game is over, by the way?
It ends. Either there's no more letters and this little thing goes bloop bloop, you lose, loser. I didn't really say that, but that's how you feel. Or you have to end up resigning because you can't play anything else.
Okay, because I was wondering, because I didn't know when the game actually ended. I didn't know if this went on forever and ever. And we're going to have an update at the end of the show today on Jamie and I's game. We challenged each other yesterday to a game. Now, we made it. We threw a little caveat in that all the words, some way, somehow, had to relate back to the horse world. So it's going to be interesting to see who's winning in our little matchup. We're going to report in every day, and then we're going to tell you what words and how they relate to the horse world. We'll do that at the end of the show today. I'm very excited that you have an announcement coming up of what you got for Christmas from your hubby. I'm very excited to hear about that. I'm kind of wondering what it is.
It was so difficult to not talk about it yesterday because we hadn't kind of finalized anything. Well, I fell asleep last night at 8:30, and Chad walks in and he wakes me up. I don't know when, and says, "I got the plane tickets. I got the plane tickets." So the plane tickets are now purchased. This vacation is official, and you are going to be without me, my friend, for 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Yep. Oh, by the way, hey, can I have 2 weeks off in the spring?
I don't think I have a choice if the plane tickets have already been purchased, right?
Oh, I guess I am supposed to probably clear this with my boss ahead of time. but it's okay.
Well, just have to find a suitable replacement for 2 weeks.
I know. You're going to have to because I am not going to be in the country. I'll give you that little hint. I'm not going to be in the country. I'm not going to be anywhere near. However, it will provide a lot of I'm going to be able to write this trip off, I think, because it's going to be related to horses. It's a horse trip.
Jennifer said we were having Darlene Newman on from Equitrekking Travel, so I figured that it had to have something to do with horses.
It might have a little something to do with Equitrekking. We shall see. But she's going to come on, yeah, at night. At 9:30 your time, 7:30 my time, and talk to us about it. I'm so excited to talk to her. I'm so excited because
I
want to be able to go see the episodes because she did an episode at the place I'm going. That's the other thing. I'm going to stop talking. I'm just going to give it away.
All right. So, in other words, Horse Husband did well this Christmas.
Horse Husband is pretty much, like, I even said to him after he did this, I said, if you want babies, I'll give you babies. I'll do whatever you want. I will do whatever you want. If you want to drop down and have 20 kids, let's start after this trip. Because I'm not getting any younger, but if you want
Jennifer,
it, you
now
have
it's going to be taking 9 months off. That'll be the next thing.
I don't think that you require to take 9 months off, but if you want to give it to me as paid leave, I will be happy to take it. I'm like, whatever you want, I'll do it. I don't care. So this trip is pretty spectacular, and it's been a lifetime dream, and I feel way too young to be taking lifetime trips, but better to do it when you're young and you have credit cards.
Exactly. Before they're full and you can't use them anymore.
Exactly.
Hey, it's that time of year, you know, as we talked a little bit about yesterday, and I found this from knickernews.net. It's the things that you know, if you could have your horse make New Year's resolutions, what would you want your horse's New Year's resolutions to be? Maybe we can make that the question of the day, Jennifer. What would you want your horse's New Year's resolutions to be? And I'll give you some examples here from knickernews.net. And this is from the horse's point of view now. This is what you want them to say. I will not treat my stall like a litter box. I will pee and poop outside whenever possible. And after having spent a lot of the week last week helping out at the barn cleaning stalls, I'm kind of on the board with that one. Really on board with that.
It doesn't matter here because I have small paddocks and I have to clean my paddocks anyway. So we're like up to our ears in poop all the time. It doesn't matter.
Have you had this happen? I will not tip over the wheelbarrow while you're filling it with manure, even if I think it's funny.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's true.
Jack probably is good for that, isn't he?
Yeah. And this next one he's good at, too.
I won't spook at non-existent scary things, even though it gets a great reaction from you. I think that can be described every thoroughbred and Arab in the world.
Well, and the thing is that there's potentially scary things that they see every single day. And we go out the back of our property, and we had go out and make a left, and there's two Dobermans that live about three houses down. And these Dobermans, every single time we make the ride, every single day, these Dobermans come from like underneath their porch and come running all the way out to the fence. Rawr, 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 rawr. Every single day. You know, they haven't got you yet. They cannot get you. There's a big fence in the way. Why do you have to spook at these Dobermans every single time? Every day.
I gotta
I don't
say,
know
though, Jamie, I think I'd be spooking at Dobermans every single time they're running and barking.
Yeah, but
kind of on the horse's side on that one.
It's been months. You don't have, they're not going to get you. And the worst thing is, the thing they spook at the most is the two Dobermans get out there and they're barking. The worst thing is when the little corgi comes running out from underneath the porch and like takes him 30 minutes to get all the way out there with his little short legs. And then that's the scariest one.
Funny. How about, you know, that kind of reminds me, though, then you got the other horses, like the lovely horse I had when we were in Pigeon Forge, and we did the trail ride up the mountain there, who had the turkey come down and pretty much land on his head, and he didn't kill me. So, you know,
wow.
Then you have those exceptions to the rule who are just great about that kind of stuff. I won't flip out when my pasture buddy goes off in a trailer, even when I know he'll be back soon. Boy, that whole attachment thing with some horses is just hard to conquer. It's just tough.
It is. There's one horse here that screams nonstop, and he lives down the street, and he screams nonstop if anybody goes by. Where are you going? Why are you leaving? We're just riding. We'll be back.
I like the next one. I will not nibble on the farrier's ears. I will leave that for my mommy. I added the last part. It's pretty much, I will not nibble on the farrier's ears. I added the last part. We've had that discussion before about how women love the farriers.
Yeah. I thought you were saying you nibble on your farrier's ears.
No.
Okay.
Don't worry. I will let the vet give me shots without making like it freaks me out.
No,
you know, I got to kind of defend the horse on this one, too. It kind of freaks me out when I get shot. So,
you're not 1,200 pounds. Get over it. It's a little prick.
It is true. I will not tip over the big water bucket in the pasture just because I can. How many times have you gone out to pasture and the water bucket's been tipped over? Now, do you have automatic waters out there? Is that a thing out there?
Some people might. I don't. I'm scared of automatic waterers because I'm afraid that they'll quit working, and we're in the desert, and if they go without water for like an hour, it's really bad. But that said, there is one horse that knocks over the water bucket. I'm like, you idiot. It's 110 degrees out here. Why are you knocking over your water? So I have one water bucket that I've tied to the fence to keep him from knocking it over.
I think that is a big problem with the automatic waters is people don't check them enough. They don't check and make sure they're working. Because they can break or they get stuck. You know, the horse pulls around and then it gets stuck, depending on the model it is. But you're right, that is a problem. And you could go days, if you don't check them, you could go days and not even know they're without water.
I know, it scares me too bad. And the other thing that happens here, random story, is that the water buckets, a lot of times, the automatic waterers get hot with the sun. Like if you have those metal ones, the sun heats it up and then the horses like burn their mouths when, anyway, random story, but it's happened and
really?
I'm just scared.
I guess because it's so darn hot.
Yeah. And sunny.
Here, their lips just get stuck to them because they're frozen solid. All right. I will not stomp on the salt block, breaking it into unlickable pieces. We haven't had, because we tend to put them in, we don't just put the salt block on the ground, so we don't have that one too much. We tend to put them in a container of some sort. I will not trot away when I see you come towards me with the halter. I want to play. I do. Yeah, boy, isn't that annoying. Oh, that's one of the most annoying things, chasing the horse around for 20 minutes.
Why don't they come when we call them? I don't understand. Come here. It's like Colin Boomer, my dog. Just turn around, trot the other way, idiot, jerk face.
And I think that this, and Jennifer will agree with this, I think this statement, I will not trot away when I see you come towards me with the halter, directly relates to the weather. If it's pouring down rain, snowing, or like yesterday when we had wind chills of 6 degrees because it was windy and 17 degrees out, that's the time they don't want to be caught. If it's beautiful, sunny weather, they'll let you walk right up to them and catch them there, or they're right by the gate.
Or it's about to rain. There's a thunderstorm approaching. It's going to start lightning in 12 and a half minutes.
Yep.
You have to go catch 9 horses. They all
that's
run
right.
away.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's when they play keep away. Now, Jennifer has Beaker trained really well. He comes, I'll tell you what, she said, why don't you go get Beaker? Now, he's in about, what, a 5-acre field? It's a huge field. With a bunch of other horses, and I went out the other day, And Beaker saw, he was all the way at the other end, and I thought, oh, it's going to take me 10 minutes to walk out there. He saw me at the gate and came over at about 30 miles an hour. And a dead
I'll
gallop
tell you why.
To the gate. Well, because he's a chow hound, and he knows he gets his grain when he comes in.
Well, I was going to say, because he knows that you're the pushover, and you'll give him treats.
That's right. Well, it solved the problem. He ran right over to the gate. It was so
funny. He probably runs from Jennifer, but you're the big guy that looks like a carrot.
I will swallow Wormer without objection and without getting any of it on myself or you. Yeah. Okay.
How annoying is it when you deworm your horse and they spit the whole thing out? You're like, that's $7.
Or you get more of it on you than the horse gets in it every time.
Mm-hmm.
I will get under you when you lose your seat instead of seizing the opportunity to dump you in the dirt. Now, there's a few horses that will take care of you like that. Jet's getting better about that, isn't he?
I'm going to give you I only have two New Year's resolutions for Jet, and I'll get to those when you're done.
Okay.
Because he's
more.
Not that horse. No.
I will not blow up like a balloon when you cinch my girth. That seems to be, I think there's just certain breeds of horses that do that better than other breeds.
Yeah, they're called lesson horses. School horses. I don't know what it is. Every school horse I've ever used loses 300 pounds from the cross ties out to the mounting block. And the two that Jet has that I would like, and I'm going to discuss with him after the show. Jet being my rescue thoroughbred off the track, and he's an event horse and he's learning. I will not buck. I will just stop bucking, please. I put my leg on him, he bucks. So I would like for him to just maybe at least cut the bucking in half, because he gets you when you're not expecting it. Like, I don't know, a canter transition. I'm going to ask for the left lead canter. Boop, buck. I'm getting pretty good at sitting it, though. The other thing, and this is what he does that drives me crazy and scares my husband to death, and he will not help me with it anymore. I promise that I will stop biting your butt when you go underneath my belly to buckle the blanket. I mean, what? I'm putting the blanket on you because I care
was
about
this
you.
Was Chad that's biting your butt or the horse?
No, I wish it was Chad. But no, it's the horse. I don't understand why we're doing something nice for you and you hate it so much that you try to bite me when I'm putting your blanket on, and especially when I'm bending over to grab the it's like I have to have one hand reaching underneath for the buckle and one hand swatting him away from my rear
end. Well, frisky, huh?
I don't understand.
He's smart. He's a smart guy. We had this horse named Chip, who was a Appaloosa, big, fat Appaloosa. And he was great for trail rides, but talk about catch you off guard. He would be absolutely wonderful for 4 out of 5 days. You'd take him out. Anybody could ride him. He was great. But you'd be out in the middle of the trail on one particular day of the week that he would decide it's time. And he would, in the middle of the quietest trail ride you've ever had in your life, out of the clear blue, do a tiny little crow hop, and you'd be gone. I don't care how experienced a rider, he had thrown everybody off. Jennifer, everybody had been thrown off because he just, for days, would let you into the sense of total security. This is the best horse ever. And then out of the clear blue, there'd be this teeny-weeny little crow hop, and you'd be gone every single time. It was amazing. He was so good at that.
A horse you rode?
I think everybody rode Chip. Jennifer, everybody rode Chip
at one time or another. No, I never let you on Chip.
Oh, that's true. I didn't because she knew I would go. Yeah. But everybody went. You got thrown. Even the most experienced driver got thrown off Chip.
Yeah, and the best part was
totally
Chip would gallop home all 1,778 pounds of blubber, would gallop home at lightning speed after dumping whoever was on his back.
So we sold him then, with full knowledge, we sold him to a camp. Camp bought him above Harrisburg, and apparently he did great for them because I think they only used him in the ring. But well,
he was their vaulting horse, remember? They bought him for vaulting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because
big,
those guys know how to come off.
Yeah, they know how to get off a horse. He was awesome. They loved him.
There's always those. So anyway, Jennifer, go ahead and post that question of the day, and thank you to knickernews.net for that list. Boy, there's about 1,000 more that we wish our horses would do, isn't there?
Now, does Beaker have something that he does that you would like him to do?
Yes.
Huh. What is it?
Beaker's New Year's resolution is, I will consult with my pasture mates before consuming tall, luscious, green, toxic plants in my pasture.
There's a habit of just sweeping everything, including the toxic plants.
Wait, what,
have
hold
a filter
up
for that, but he doesn't.
Why are there toxic plants in your horse's pasture?
Well, there are lots and lots of plants out there, what we call weeds, that are perfectly harmless to horses if they nibble at them here and there. But if they consume them in large quantities, eventually the horse starts to feel a little under the weather. And rather than nibble along at the short grass, and this is short grass, this is not a bare pasture by any stretch, he would just as soon eat the really tall stuff that he can eat fast. And he gets prickles in his lips that puff up, and then sometimes he'll feel a little under the weather and get kind of peaked, and I have to have the vet out. And it's just because he eats, you know, you'll have a weed in there, like a thistle. He'll eat the whole freaking 6-foot-tall thistle. Well, that's going to cause some holes in your lips, Beaker.
Yeah. Smart. Smart. Very smart. so I will not eat the poisonous plants in mass consumption that are in my pasture.
Check with your pasture mates. Ask them if they think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything, Glenn, that you as the horse husband would like to see? Because you guys do all the barn chores on Sundays, correct?
Yeah, we do Sunday barn chores. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know. I think Jennifer hit it on the head. You know, I as a horse husband, there's lots of things I would like to do, like keep the horses out all the time and not ever put them in the stalls, things like that. But those are, I know, they're impractical dreams of a horse husband. That's a whole segment. We ought to do the impractical dreams of a horse husband sometime.
So is that just because you don't want to clean the stalls?
Yeah, just pretty much because we don't want to clean the stalls, yeah.
Okay, so you're not like, oh, the horses need to be out and roaming around. You're just basically lazy and don't want to clean the stalls.
Exactly. No, it has nothing to do with horse health. Yeah, it just has to do with my laziness level and wanting to get back to the house and do something else. That's what it has to do with. Typical horse husband stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, we're going to get to your announcement here of your Christmas present very shortly, but first we're going to talk about Audible.com. You know, it is the premier provider of digital books with over 100,000 titles now to choose from, and from thrillers to business to romance to comedy, sci-fi. Jennifer and I were listening to a Dirk Pitt novel on the way up to Pennsylvania last week, and I started the other day on my Steve Jobs and the Steve Jobs autobiography. I started on that through Audible.com. I download it right to my iPod. You can download it to your iPhone or to about 250 other devices, whether you have an Android or I don't care what kind of device you have. You can pretty much download an Audible book to it. And you can listen when you're not listening to us here at the Horse Radio Network. You can take a listen to an Audible book. I don't know about you, Jamie, but I just never get around to reading books anymore. I just do not take the time to sit down, open a book, and read it. So what I do is I listen to Audible books at audible.com, and I just listen to them when I'm doing other things. And I looked the other day. Jennifer and I have listened since 2004, and in our account we have over 100 books that we've listened to on Audible. It's perfect if you travel a lot, if you have a commute to work, whatever you're doing that seems to be wasted time, that you could also listen to a book. And right now they have a free trial, 14-day free trial for everybody at the Horse Radio Network, for all our listeners. You just go to audibletrial.com/HRN for Horse Radio Network and to download your free audio book and take a listen to it. So you get a free book. Go give it a try at audibletrial.com/HRN. for your 14-day free trial. We thank Audible for their sponsorship. Have you gotten into audiobooks yet?
No, I can't say that I have. Simply because when I drive, I like to sing very loud in the car because it keeps me awake.
And
so
how does
I usually,
Dad feel about that?
He deals with it, really. Half the time he sings along, so we're both kind of that guy. So we sing out loud, very loud in the car. Although I would love to download an audio book when I'm going to be on the plane traveling across the seas on my vacation that I was given for Christmas. Mm-hmm. That might be a good time to start.
That might be, and you know what? You can get a free one. You can get a free book for that trip. And there are some books on there that I'm not kidding are like when they – you can get – a lot of them have the abridged versions, and then most of them you can get the original version, which is the full-length version. And you're talking 14 to 40 hours with some of them. I think the Steve Jobs book is almost 30 hours. So you could kill both plane rides back and forth easily listening to an audiobook. There you go. There's your solution. And then Chad could complain because you got your earbuds in and you're not paying attention at all. Not only are you looking down at your phone all the time, you're just not even listening to it.
I could be playing Words with Friends while listening to audiobooks at the same time. My God, this is genius.
Our
you
guest is
like
ready
that.
If you would like to make the announcement.
Well, we called Darlene Newman from Equitrekking Travel, and we called her because I was given for Christmas an Equitrekking vacation. And lo and behold, Darlene already knew about it because my husband's been calling the company, booking the whole thing through Darlene Somebody EquitrekkingTravel.com. So, first of all, good morning, Darlene.
Good morning. What a good horse husband. That is what I have to say about your husband. My goodness.
Can you believe this? I haven't said where we're going yet, but when we talked to you last, I said we were talking about planning a vacation. We hadn't really figured out what we wanted to do, and you said that there's two places that you would recommend a couple go, and it was either Ireland or Spain. And seeing that the Andalusian horse is by far my favorite breed, and I love the romance of Spain and riding Andalusians. That is the vacation that my husband has decided to take me on. I'm going to Spain!
Yay!
Wow.
He's
making the rest of us horse husbands look like schmucks, you realize
it. I don't know what I did to deserve this, but he did this whole thing. And, of course, let me just give you a little backstory, Darlene, is that my husband, we just bought a horse trailer like a couple months ago. I don't know when we won the lottery, but we bought this horse trailer, and he says, don't do anything big for Christmas, okay? We've spent enough money. We just need to kind of sit back, and let's not spend a lot of money on Christmas. And then what does he do? The very last present, he pulls this little Equitrekking brochure out of the Christmas tree and hands it to me. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? So, Darlene, tell everybody exactly, and tell me, really, what I'm going to be doing because you have been to this place.
I have. We actually filmed there for Equitrekking, and it's awesome. Like, I've been to Spain 3 times now. I love it, and I love this area of Spain. It's my favorite. Seville is my favorite. It's right outside of Seville. You're going to go to an old hacienda and ride beautiful Andalusians that are awesome. They're very well trained because Vivi, who is there, she's the daughter of the owner. She studied dressage for 4 years at the Royal Andalusian School. She trains Andalusians. She studied under Olympian Rafael Soto. But why, the vacation that your husband chose for you, I'm glad because it combines the best of everything. I mean, you're going to do awesome trail rides. You're going to go to the beach and ride through Doñana National Park, which is this beautiful, you know, natural area with all this awesome wildlife. You're going to go to the Royal Andalusian School of Equestrian Art, which is just amazing. It's where the horses literally dance and just eat awesome food. Wine is included with the meals, so that's a big plus. It's going to be great, and the Andalusians are beautiful. They're beautiful horses. This horse that I rode there, Napoleon, was amazing. And I'm not a dressage person, Jamie. I'm a hunter-jumper rider, but I liked the mix because I tried a little dressage or you can just do some regular training, but then I also was out in the countryside riding through, you know, fields of flowers, going to these old haciendas, eating some paella on my, you know, little breaks. It was great. I'm very excited for you.
Oh, darling, this trip just sounds absolutely incredible. And I have cried like four times. Just I was reading your daily itinerary, and we were sitting at a restaurant for lunch, and I'm reading this daily itinerary, and I start crying, and he's like, "What's wrong?" Oh my God, it's just so wonderful. I can't wait to go. He's like, "Oh my God, you're crying reading the itinerary. What are you going to do when you get there? This is like just an incredible thing." Glenn, the thing is, the wine, like Darlie said, is included. Like any other drink, cost extra. The wine is free.
Same.
Do you, Darlie, do you ride the horses before you drink large quantities of wine, or is it the other way around?
You really have to pace yourself, Glenn. From experience. Now, your Spanish counterparts, they may not be pacing themselves, but they are used to this. So we Americans need to, like, take our time when we're doing the wine on the trails and, you know, just take little sips here and there. I highly suggest that.
Do they
that.
Have, like, little pouches attached to the saddles to carry the wine along, or...?
They bring stuff, and then a lot of times they'll drive, like someone will drive and meet you on the trail, and they'll set out stuff for you to have, or you'll stop at a hacienda or go back to the hacienda, take a little break and go back out. So it's very well planned. I mean, the planning on these trips is crazy, because Jamie, you saw all the stuff that you're doing. I mean, it's really, you're really getting the best out of everything, but I don't think you're going to feel like overwhelmed or anything. So it's all there. All of Spain. You'll have the culture, the history, the food, the horses, of course, and just really great diverse riding.
Well, and reading about the diverse riding, speaking of the wine real quick, Chad is going to do the riding portion of the vacation with me. And
really?
He's going to ride too, because every morning
God,
you go
he
out
really
and,
is making us all look like schmucks now.
Yeah, you're pretty awful of a husband, really, compared to mine. No, he's going to do it because every morning is a ride, like, through, I'll give you the itinerary of one day, but pretty much you go on a trail ride in the morning, and that is where you go through olive groves or on the beach or to the school. You just do any sort of amazing ride through the surf and then the dunes, and then you go back, you have some lunch. They give you wine, you have a siesta, your little mid-afternoon nap, and then you get up and you have a dressage lesson on the Andalusians with the dressage trainer. It's awesome! So he said that he's going to have to start training because they say you're on a horse for potentially 4 hours a day. So he needs to start training and riding more often, and I need to start apparently training for drinking wine. So I need to start now. I got to get ready for this.
He can always take an afternoon. He can take a little bit of a longer siesta if he wants in the afternoon, but you're going to have to push him and be like, "Nope, I know you're sore, but get back in the saddle, buddy. We're in Spain."
Yeah, exactly. He said he might not do all the afternoon lessons, but here is, let's see, let me take you on the beach ride. And how do you say it? Is Donana?
It's Donana. And this is a beautiful natural park. I mean, it's one of the largest in Europe. And when I rode there, I saw, you know, these fallow deer everywhere. And just it's a place that they don't allow a ton of tourists. So that's what makes it really neat, because it is really natural. But you can, you know, horseback ride through the park, and you go through these beautiful rolling dunes. And there are all these, like, different kind of pine trees around you, and just beautiful scents in the ocean. You see the ocean from above. You kind of go over this big dune, and then you're there on the beach. And Fernando, who runs these trips, he owns the hacienda with his wife Jane, and Vivi is his daughter. So it's nice. It's a family-run place, but they'll take you out on the beach. And when you do the beach ride, Jamie, it's kind of cool because usually we did at least, each time we did it, we rode with the native tack on the beach ride. Like back at Epona, you can choose to, back at the hacienda, you can choose to ride with like English saddles. They also have the native stuff. But then when you're on the beach, you do ride on those sheepskin saddles. So I thought that was kind of neat to experience that as well. So you do get to kind of try the different tack, what the natives would be riding on the beach there in Spain. So it's really neat.
Oh, I'll definitely have to choose that. It says here that the ride takes you through the natural park, one of Europe's last true wilderness regions and wildlife reservations. Ride over the golden dunes, brushing through fragrant wild lavender, rosemary, and thyme. This area is home to many protected species. It goes on about the animals. After riding down the beach, now this is what got me. After riding down to the beach, you may want to canter through the surf. Then it's like, yes, please. Then it's back to Epona for lunch and a siesta by the pool before your early evening equestrian lessons, followed by a traditional paella campestre under the stars, washed down with wonderful homemade sangria. Come on!
Yeah, you're going to come back here and you're going to be making that sangria for Glenn. He's going to be so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
so
sorry
excited.
I did that story about the quicksand on the horse sinking on the beach yesterday now.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's all I can think about. I'm trying not to say something. Darling, first of all, I want to see this trip that I'm going to be taking, and I know you've been there, so how can I go back and see former Equitrekking episodes?
So we have, first of all, Jamie, we have a couple of video clips online on our website, and I'll actually like put them in my blog today, or you guys might want to put them on your site, too, from YouTube. So we've got some of the dressage and the beach riding, and I did like a little, actually I made a little clip for this vacation, so you can kind of see what you're going to do. And that's on equitrekkingtravel.com as well as equitrekking.com. And then I'm going to actually mail out, the shows are still airing on PBS stations, so if you turn it on, it may be on one day. But I'll mail you guys some DVDs, too, because I want you to get the full experience of the full episode, so you can kind of see where you're going to go, which is a really cool thing.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to see it. And I set my DVR a long time ago to record every Equitrekking episode. And for some reason, Spain just has not shown up. I've been looking for it since the last time we talked. But I can't wait to see it. So we'll put the links to all of that up on our Facebook page. And Equitrekking has been a super website. And apparently, the people that Chad have talked to, is Equitrekking Travel like your company or is it a PBS? How's that work?
Yeah, it's my company. We actually, we call it like the sister website to equitrekking.com. But, you know, because we've gone all over the world and tried these vacations, so we now, you know, send people like you on these vacations. And we're actually, it's really exciting. We are celebrating our 2-year anniversary for Equitrekking Travel right now in January. So we've been doing this for 2 years, and, you know, obviously we've been riding around the world much longer than that. And we're expanding, and we have a bunch of new people that are working with us now on Equitrekking Travel, so we'll be able to help many more travelers go on their dream vacations.
I have a question.
You guys, go ahead.
I need to know, Darlie, are they going to have to order the Rosetta Stone Spanish series before they go, or are they going to be okay?
They will be fine. Everybody speaks English, and, you know, it'd be nice to throw in a few Spanish words if you want to, but totally unnecessary. You will find that people do speak English there, which is helpful, because I actually have been on some vacations where, and filmed in some places where people, you know, they speak English, but it's not, you know, not as great, but they're really good in Spain. And then,
okay,
and then
so now I have another, I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
So, Jamie, when are you going on the trip?
We are leaving, I think, May, I don't have the dates in front of me, around May 27th, I think.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
so 27th. We need, between now and May 27th, we need to do a Spanish word of the week.
Well, I love that idea. I was going to say, I've been working on one sentence, okay, so far. I have, mi caballo es muy bonito y mi esposo es muy guapo. Okay,
ooh.
Do you know what I just said?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I said
my horse is very
go ahead,
pretty,
darling.
And my husband is very handsome.
Exactly. My horse is pretty, and my husband is handsome. Donde está el baño? That's the
yeah, yeah, that's going to get
fine.
You a long way over there.
See, I'll be fine. More cerveza, por favor. Más
yeah.
Cerveza. Yo soy muy borracho.
Is this from your high school days of Spanish, or how are you picking all this up? Are you already doing Rosetta Stone, Jamie?
I got, this is going to sound stupid, forever ago, I got the CDs, Drive Time Spanish. So you actually pop a CD in your car when you're driving, and it's like, mi bicicleta es rojo, which is my bicycle is red. I say all these stupid sentences. But I've been really practicing with my friend Jose, who comes over once a week, and I'm like, that's it. I've just since last week, I said, from now on, only speak Spanish to me. I don't think we've talked since then. Sure, I don't know what the hell he's saying. But
it's been a very short conversation.
Yeah. Okay. See. Okay, whatever. but I got to say, Darlie, that if anybody does want to take a horseback riding vacation, I have been so impressed with this website. It is equitrekkingtravel.com. And you can basically pick anywhere in the entire world and just call them, and they'll do all the work for you. You guys, we didn't have to call Spain and try to book this trip through them. We just called y'all, and my husband called you guys, and just they took care of the whole thing and got us the rates and the booking, and then we'll take care of, you know, the first night you fly in, if you need a hotel room, they take care of that too. He's just been really impressed, and he's traveled all over the world. So I do recommend, if you want to go anywhere, I mean, from a place down the street, there's places in Arizona that you guys have been and you do trips, so all the way up to Alaska or Maine or Florida or Spain. Definitely check out equitrekkingtravel.com. My gosh, it's just so fun to go look at the pictures and dream. And that's what I thought this would be, was a dream. And maybe someday when I'm like 75 and retired and doing nothing, I would probably someday maybe want to go to Spain. I never thought it would happen. And obviously my husband is the hugest part of that, but you guys have been very helpful too. And I'm going to cry again because I'm so excited.
Thank you. I'm so excited for you guys. You're going to have an awesome trip. I can't wait. And I've already talked to my friends in Spain, and I've said, you have some very special customers coming. You have some very special travelers, so they will take very good care of you. They're very excited, too.
Another question, because I didn't know about this till today, Darlie, and she announced that she needs 2 weeks off. So can you fill in for a week? I'm going to need a co-host.
Yeah, I'll come on. I'll come on the radio and help you out. We can try to patch Jamie in and see how her vacation's going.
Yeah, good luck with that. She's going to turn off the phone so we can't talk to her at all. There's not even going to be a satellite that points to Spain. She's going
to
have them all redirected.
Try to imagine. We'll be like, let's see, where is Jamie today? I'm imagining she's in.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you that I will definitely attempt to Skype in from there, because it's just, I want to be able to describe the magic of this place that I'm going. Just like I said, reading the reviews and the itinerary brings me to tears. So you guys cannot imagine what a blubbering mess I'm going to be when I'm actually there. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going. Okay, sorry, I still do that all the time.
With Jamie's luck, she's going to get on that beautiful Andalusian the first day. It's going to be a white one with a flowy mane. They're going to ride down to the beach, and the thing's going to dump her and race home. With her luck, that's what's going to happen.
No. No, 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 no. She's going to be fine. She's going to be fine.
Glenn, I think I have decent horse luck. But I would like to say, Darlie, that, you know, as the dream of going to Spain and riding Andalusians has been lifelong for me, I was looking at the horses that they have, and it says that there's mostly Andalusians, but also a few warm bloods. Now, I have a warm blood. Can you make sure that they don't put me on a warm blood? I want to ride an Andalusian, a white one.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. You'll be able to ride an Andalusian. They've got lots of great horses there. So, you can have that experience. We have a nice picture, Glenn, on there of this beautiful white horse, the one that I rode Napoleon that was there with the white flowing mane. So it was kind of that typical experience, which I thought was neat. I love the Andalusians. I think they're just so beautiful.
Oh, they're absolutely magic. So I can't even wait. And then the next week we're going to spend just in Seville. So if you have any sort of tips for that, let me know.
Oh, I have some great recommendations, actually. So cool. That's great.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And then so you'll at least help Glenn out one day. That's one fill-in I've done. So do I have to find the next 9?
Yeah, Glenn? Yeah. No, I think she agreed to help me out for a week.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I think I could come on. I'll come on for a day or two. I don't know if I can do a full week, but I'll definitely come on. That would be fun.
All right. That'll be fun. I'll look forward to
it. Cool.
Well, thank you so much.
She's more expensive than I am, Glenn, so you better watch out.
Thank you, darling. This is great that you helped her make that big announcement, and I'm very excited for you, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And, Jamie, we'll have to talk. I'll talk more to you and Chad, and I'll give you guys some good Seville recommendations, too, personally, because, you know, that's one of my favorite cities. So,
is it really? Oh, that's fantastic
oh, yeah.
to hear. I'm so excited. We just went yesterday and bought the big guide to, you know, southern Spain, and it's like 10,000 pages, and we've been, like, highlighting things we want to do or potentially see. It's just been so exciting to think about. I've known about this, obviously, since Christmas, but it hasn't been finalized until last night. So thanks to you guys for at Equitrekking Travel for being so accommodating and so helpful, because we didn't know if we had the tickets, and they were able to take our reservation without the plane tickets yet. It was just great. You guys were very understanding. Apparently, this is what I've been told by Chad, because I really have nothing to do with it. But yeah, I do. I have the greatest husband in the world, and I'm so excited to go. And thanks to Darlie, you and your company, Equitrekking Travel, for making it all possible.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I could go there and check it out for you. You know, just let me know where else you want to go, Jamie. I'll just travel over and see how it is, and then you can take a ride over there.
You're a giver. You're a giver.
Okay.
You
I
sacrifice.
Do not mind doing that. Yeah, I will sacrifice to do that for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we should trade jobs. Okay, I love my job, but yeah, we could trade. Darlie, thank you so much. Everybody, check out equitrekkingtravel.com. I know I'm going to be spending many hours on that website, and we'll send you the link to, or after Darlie sends us the link, we'll put it up on our Facebook page for my ride in Andalusia, Spain. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yay.
Thank you, Darlie.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jamie. Happy New Year.
All right, bye, Darlie.
Bye.
Are you excited, Jamie? I can tell.
I cannot brush the grin off my face. Okay, I literally am so excited to go and do this, and all of it is so amazing. And I promise you guys, I will keep you updated and send you pictures. It won't be anywhere close to the same thing, but I will definitely. I'll let you know if I think I recommend it to you. You should
okay.
spend your money.
That sounds like a deal. Well, you know, I was just looking through my list of songs to see if I could find anything that was Spanish. And the closest thing that came to a Spanish song is Marianne Kennedy's wonderful Pasadena. It's about the closest thing I could get to a Spanish song. But I thought you might quit if I played that. So how about a little Dan Roberts?
That sounds good. That sounds good. Love it.
To this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens, it was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us the tags so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a cow pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it'd start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did a hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's going to breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from. Because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shot by a machine. And this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yeah, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Well, that was Dan Roberts from oldbootsmusic.com. If you want to buy some of his music, you go to oldbootsmusic.com. And, of course, that song was called cowhand.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jennifer is over there producing today, and it's brought to you today by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/HRN for the 14-day free trial and your free book. Get that today. Our Horse Radio Network show highlight today is Horse Tip Daily's number 570. And of course, that's a show that Jennifer hosts. You can check it out at horsetipdaily.com. Tip number 570 by feedxl.com. is Mandy Widrick talks about blogging. Yeah, believe it or not, blogging is not dead. Matter of fact, we just heard Darley talk about her posting on her blog today that Jamie was going to be taking that trip. So today's tip is about creating, maintaining a blog that will last longer, is more productive, and more interesting than a Kardashian's marriage. I like that. Listen in. So that's over at horsetipdaily.com. Well, we're going to be up here with Victoria very shortly from Horse and Country TV when she checks in with our European report. And while we're waiting for her, I'll tell you what, Jamie, if you live in Republic, Missouri, which I looked at, it's sort of like in the southern western corner of Missouri, you probably are going to be very happy very soon because they are talking about building a $350 million elite equestrian center in the town of Republic, Missouri. We're talking about a 1,000-acre site that includes a 15,000-seat arena, 60 condos, man-made lakes, restaurants, and a 350-room hotel, and that's just the start. Their goal is to have 12 horse shows a year at the site and to have an arena open for concerts and other happenings around the Ozark Mountains. It's in the early stages. They say they have, I think it was 50 investors from three groups in three states, and they're trying to get the permissions now to build this thing, and we're talking a big park, 1,000 acres. So,
wow.
It'll be good.
And
yeah,
where
this
is it?
Kind of in the middle of nowhere, by the way.
That's what I was thinking. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, like the Ozark Mountains. Now, they apparently had tried to do this in the Ozarks before, and the neighbors all raised hell, and they didn't end up doing it. But they moved to and found a new location that they think that it's going to be more hospitable to the neighbors and that it should get approved. So We'll see if that goes. $350 million, though. Wow.
Nice. That's money well spent. That's your tax dollars at work, horse people.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that, this year there was the story. You know how newspapers do? They tell you at the end of the year what their top stories was, the most read stories. They can tell by the number of clicks on the website. Well, this year at Missoulian.com, which is it's Montana, and they had their top story of the year was one that we covered extensively, and we learned from them. Does the name Tonk ring a bell there, Jamie?
Tonk is the horse that chased down the child being chased by the bear.
That's right. Aaron Bolker and Tonk of the Wranglers from out there, they actually were the top story for this website. They ended up, remember, on the David Letterman show. She ended up on Here Twice telling us all about it. And I wonder how she's doing. She was going to go play ski instructor or something over the winter, if I remember right. But she was their top story of the year. So there we go, a horse person getting top story for something cool she did.
Yeah, absolutely. And number two, it's funny, that number two on the list, the headline of that story, the number two most popular story in Montana, after, Aaron and Tonk run down the bear that's chasing the children, number two, manhunt underway west of Lolo for ex-militia leader. Wow, what's going on out there in Montana? You have to have a manhunt for the ex-militia leader. That's story number two. So happy, fun story number one. Number two, everybody's going to die.
All right, it's time for our European report with Horse and Country TV, and we have Victoria Spicer here, and I think she's on the line waiting for us. Good morning, Victoria. Good afternoon.
Good morning and good afternoon if you're listening in the UK.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year to you both. I hope you had a nice festive break and a good New Year.
We did.
Do they celebrate that over there too? They celebrate New Year's too?
Well,
yeah.
I'm Scottish, and New Year's tends to be an even bigger deal in Scotland than Christmas is. So,
it's an excuse to drink in Scotland?
Yes.
Victoria, you were doing something really cool over the holidays, too. Tell us about that. How'd that go?
Yes, on Boxing Day, I dragged myself away from the fire and the warmth and went to a local racecourse at Kempton, where we have one of the biggest race meetings of the year, the King George. It's a jump racing meeting, so it's always going to be an exciting day. But this one was extra special because a horse called Cotto Star was back in action, and he was campaigning for his fifth King George in a row. And nobody thought he would do it. He's now 12 years old. He's been beaten by the other top horse of the moment, Long Run, and that horse started favourite. But Cotto just jumped phenomenally and just flew these big steeplechase fences, and he won. And I've been to quite a lot of races this year, or last year, I should say, and this topped them all. It was the best atmosphere and the most incredibly special win for Cotto.
Wow, so you have your own pinata over there in this jumper.
We do. I mean, it's. I've been to quite a few flat races last year, and but jump racing is my true love, and it's just so exciting, and it was just an incredible moment. And he's a horse that has just taken to the public consciousness, and I think one thing that's different between flat horses and jumped horses is that jumped horses are out year after year. We've had Cotto Star for 6 or 7 years he's been around, whereas these flat horses come along and everybody talks about them for a season or two, and then they get retired to stud and we don't see them again. So it's nice to have a horse that's been popular for so many years and he's still winning and impressing everybody.
Now, here in the United States, jump racing is not as popular. You have to really plan to try and go see one because they just aren't held everywhere. We have one big one here in Lexington we do every year. Is it like here where and I know it's a lot more popular over there. Is it like here, though, where half the jockeys are on the ground by the end of each race, or is it better over there?
There is thrills and spills in jumps racing. It's definitely true. And our very top jockey, he's called AP McCoy, Tony McCoy. He's been champion jockey for the last 16 years in a row. So this man is pretty tough, and he's sidelined at the moment with a couple of broken ribs. So it's definitely a sport for the brave. I think a good race, you'd see most of the field finishing, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it's always amazing here when you see these races that you know the jockeys have not raced a lot, and boy, when you see them go around a steeplechase course, it's a whole different ball game. A lot more of them come unglued.
I think over here it tends to be, I mean, I think I could be wrong, but maybe more people just come into flat racing from a non-horsey background, whereas jumps racing, you get quite a lot of these guys who've grown up in pony club or they've done a bit of show jumping, or they've had ponies in their youth, and so they tend to be pretty good in the saddle.
Huh, cool. Well, another, talk about jumping, you have another win for a very popular character over there right now.
Yes, this is Guy Williams, who we talked about before Christmas, because he came to London to the Olympia Horse Show and he won 5 big classes, which was just a brilliant week for him. And he manages to have a couple of days off for Christmas, and then on Boxing Day he flew out to Belgium and he took part in a big show out there, a big 5-star international, and he won another class there. So I think that was quite a good Christmas for Guy.
Yeah, I think that his New Year's resolution is partly taken care of. He can fund his entire year.
It could be so. And he got to drive home in a new Land Rover, so very nice for him.
Oh, that's not too bad either.
No.
You have a video about that. You have a video about that on your website as well.
We caught up with him at Olympia when he just was on that incredible run of form, so it's definitely worth getting to know him. He's a very nice, down-to-earth man, and he, you know, people think that equestrianism, especially in Britain, is full of people who were born with a silver spoon in their mouth and are from very privileged backgrounds. But Guy's from a really normal background, and he's incredibly down-to-earth. No matter what he's been winning recently, he's just still the same person.
You know, with Chris yesterday, we talked about the Olympics because it's going to be, you know, one of the big horse stories of the year will be the Olympics in your backyard over there, literally. And, there is a name that we're going to be talking about this year, even though he has a new rider.
Yes, Totilas, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you'd asked everyone a couple of years ago who was going to win gold at the Olympics in the dressage, everyone would have said Totilas. And, of course, it's been all changed for that horse. He's been sold to the Germans. He's got a new rider. And I think him and Matthias Rath have had some brilliant results this season. And they had 3 big wins at Aachen, which is, you know, a very competitive show. But they didn't quite get into the medals at the European Championships. And so is he going to be the one to get gold on this wonder horse that's broken all these records, or is it going to be someone else, like one of the British riders? That's what we're all talking about at the moment.
And, of course, you guys have been doing very well in eventing and in dressage. England in the past, you know, has not been known for their dressage throughout the last 30 years. So it must be very exciting for you guys to have everything coming together at the same time that the Olympics are being held right in your own country.
Definitely. And, you know, if we have our 3 top riders who are Carl Hester, Laura Bechtelsheimer, and Charlotte Dujardin, if we have them all on form and their horses fit and everything going well, and I'm hoping now that the deadline is passed for any Olympic sales, hopefully all our top horses will stay in Britain. That's what I'm praying for. Then I think we're in with a really good shout. But dressage is a tricky one because you've only got 3 riders in the team. And so you can't have any mistakes. And if anybody has an off day, it could be the difference between getting a medal and going home with nothing. So I think for years, dressage used to be a battle between the Dutch team and the German team, and then it was, you know, the Swedes and the Americans and the Spanish all kind of trying to get bronze, and suddenly it's not like that at all, and the British have got a very good chance of being the gold medalists.
Yeah, you do in eventing as well. You have an excellent team on the eventing side with Mary King, you know, kind of leading the way now, and it's just, you know, the Germans are going to be in there as they always are, and the United States and Canada even has a pretty good team. So, you guys have to be looking forward to eventing as well.
Definitely, and I think William Fox Pitt is another one who is in with a good shot of getting on the team this year. And the other rider is Piggy French. It would be her first Olympics if she does get selected, but she won the test event that they had in Greenwich last summer, and she's been a European medalist, and I think she's the other one to be a quite likely contender for the team. But as for who makes the fourth place, I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see.
Hey, so I've got to ask you, Victoria, we've been talking a lot about it, and have you seen, on a totally different note, have you seen yet the movie War Horse?
I have indeed. I got to see it a few weeks before its release and a screening. So, and how's it been going in America? Have lots of people been going to see it?
Well, it was in fifth place. I do believe that the number one movie that was very popular was Mission Impossible, and that was followed by Sherlock Holmes, and then number three was Alvin and the Chipmunks. Then War Horse at number four.
That's disappointing. Well, I hope, being a British story and a story that's been incredibly successful on the stage in London, I'm hoping we're going to beat Tom Cruise over here in Britain, but we will see.
We hope you do too.
yeah. So I know it opens January 13th for you guys. So without giving any spoilers, what did you think of it?
I thought there were some aspects of the film that just made it so much more vivid and frightening than the stage play. The stage play, I think, is best known for having these incredible puppets and their lifelike movement, whereas when you see a horse galloping across no man's land, you know, it's a terrifying and awe-inspiring scene. And so aspects of that I really liked. I think I did write a bit of a review for the Horse and Country website, and I found it a little bit frustrating that the horses were always doing their party tricks. They were always neighing, they were always rearing or barging, and I think these are some of the worst behaved horses I've ever seen. Most horses spend their time eating and sleeping, and so I think I don't understand, as soon as there's a camera involved, these horses have to be, you know, tossing their head, and they just can't stand still and eat, which is what all my horses do, so I don't understand that bit. So that bit was a little bit frustrating, and it is a family film, and I think it did shy away from some of the horrors of war, but it's worth a watch, and it's nice to see horses back on the big screen.
Yeah, you all. I totally agree. That is the perfect review. It's almost like you get paid to do this stuff. Well, good. Yeah, you're right. They're the worst behaved horses ever. If my horse whinnied that much, I would muzzle him. Like, I don't know. Stop freaking whinnying! My God, it's nonstop. Aside from that, you're right. Some of the movie was horror. The scenes were horrible, but to me, that played on my emotions a lot more to see something that dramatic right there in front of me, so to where I that made me cry. Glenn hated those scenes.
No.
Because they weren't Saving Private Ryan enough for him. But thank you, that's a great review.
Oh, thank you, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, yeah. Now Victoria, what's going what do you got coming up here in January on Horse and Country TV? What's going to be new?
Well, our Getting to Greenwich Olympic series is still continuing, and this week's it's all about a para dressage rider called Debbie Criddle. She's a really inspiring lady, and you can watch her train her horses, and she's doing two-time changes, I think, which is just really impressive, considering I think she is missing one of her arms, and it obviously just is a real challenge to be able to ride those kind of dressage movements. So definitely do watch that if you're in the UK. And hopefully the entire series will be available to watch online in the near future. So when it is, we will let everybody know so our American viewers can have a watch as well. And we've also got another show called Equitrekking, which I think you've already had over there in the U.S.
Well, actually, we just had Darlene Newman on the show right before you, who is the host of Equitrekking.
Yes, so yes, we've got Equitrekking with Darlene, and last night was the first time we've showed the program on the channel, and we had lots of really good feedback. I think everybody in the UK who's been watching is very jealous of Darlene's job. I think there's not many people who wouldn't like to be an equine travel reporter. It's a bit of a dream job for a lot of people.
She rubs it in every time she comes on the show.
A very lucky lady.
Well, now, you guys also are over here. We can see part of your programming on HR TV, right?
Yes, that's right. I think there's Polo that's available to watch on this week. But do head to hrtv.com and you can find out when our programs are on.
All right, cool. Well, very good. Thank you, Victoria. We appreciate you being on. Of course, it is Horse and Country TV. Give the website again.
Yes, it's www.horseandcountry.tv.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate you being on, and we'll talk to you again next week, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, Victoria.
I just have to hear her voice every week.
I know. And did she say that she was Scottish, too? So she's got a little bit of the Scottish accent along with, like, a London accent. Oh, my God. I love hearing her talk.
And she's going to be in London. You know, I wonder if, like locals around here during the World Equestrian Games were dreading the traffic and everything. I'm sure people who live in London who could care less about the Olympics are dreading this year because I'm sure they're picturing a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now it's time to do our Words with Friends update. Jamie and I started our first game of playing with each other yesterday, and we thought we would give you an update every day here until the end of the first game anyway, but we added a little twist to it, and the twist was we have to somehow relate the words that we played back to the equestrian world. Now, it's going to be interesting how we justify that. Yeah?
Well, we have to explain what Words with Friends is for those people, those few people living underneath a rock that haven't downloaded this app onto your phone. Words with Friends is basically Scrabble, but you can play Scrabble with anybody in the world that also has the app. So, you know, I'm currently in a game with my brother in Georgia, my best friend in Kentucky. I'm playing a game with a couple of different listeners, high school buddies, a lady from a farm down the street. I mean, you can play these Scrabble games with anybody. And I have never played Scrabble before, so I suck at it. Glenn, too, also sucks. That is why we decided to challenge each other.
And I am happy to report, after the first day, you're not going to believe this, everybody, it's Jamie, 46 points, and me, 46 points. We are tied after the first day.
Most people get 46 points on one word. We have each done three words and
three
now
words.
Have 46. But I've got to call a little BS on you, okay? Because, you know, my words were pretty easy to relate back to horses. As I played
you
the word yesterday.
Go ahead. Let's do your words. First one was cease, like cease and desist.
Cease and desist. And I said yesterday that I would like for Jed to cease biting my newly acquired love handles while I'm trying to tack him up or blanket him or something like that. So cease biting me. Cease it and bucking. The next word, I mean, this is the greatest equine Scrabble word ever, rider.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you got me on that one.
And, right, I mean, it's rider. So the last word that I came up with was the word craft. Craft. I need to hone my craft. I need to practice my craft. I need to work on my craft because I told you yesterday my goal is to do a training level 3-day, a half-star event by next November, so I have to work on my craft.
Oh, see, I thought you were maybe macrameing saddle pads or something.
No. No. Not crafting things, okay? Not crafting.
All right,
although,
so mine are very easy. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah. I did make a craft yesterday. I made letters to make a dressage arena because I'm going to a little dressage show this weekend. So I took some cardboard paper and I drew letters on it and I stuck them to my arena. So that was crafty.
Oh, that's not as crafty as you're going to get. So mine are very, I don't see why you don't get mine. I just don't understand because mine are very relatable. My first word was Ruby, R-U-B-Y. And that is so easy to relate to the horse world. It's the jewel that you will never own if you're a horsewoman because you can't afford it. That's simple.
Are you kidding me? That's your horse word, Ruby? Yeah. I thought maybe you were going to say something like, okay, when I was, 10 years old, I had a pony. My first pony's name was Ruby or something like that, really, just because we're going to be broke and not able to afford jewelry.
Exactly.
You had to do better than
that. And then the second one is hype, and that is that relates to the horse world so much because I get about 1,000 press releases a day from all different sources, and there is nothing but hype in those. So that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
We are good at hype in the horse world. And then you got to give me credit for the next one. It was pretty good. Almost as good as Rider. Rasp, R-A-S-P. Pretty good there, huh?
Now, I would like to let you know, Glenn, that while you were talking to Victoria from horseandcountry.tv, I took the lead.
Would you play
Did
another?
You see-
All right, let me get my phone out here.
But besides Ryder, this is the greatest horse word ever. I didn't get very many points for it, but it's not about the points.
Well, it is kind of about the points, Jamie.
Well, I could. I had to play it. I had to play it, and that word.
All right, hold
was
on.
The best.
I'm opening it up. Sorry. I didn't open it up yet.
V-E-P. I got to play that off of, I think, Cease. hype. And I used the E to make vet. So, booyah. My horse
words
are way better than
that. You only got 7 points for that, Jamie.
Well, it's not about the points. It was a good horse word, and I didn't want to save it till later.
That's funny. All right. Well, we will continue this, and we will report in tomorrow on how we make words fit into the equestrian world. But
it's going to get harder.
It adds a kind of a new dimension to it, doesn't it? Because you're thinking about, how could that be horses?
Well, you are relating things. It's ridiculous, your connection. So make horse words. Don't make some word that you find some, 10-minute explanation to wind it back to the horses. It needs to be a horse word. Come on, you can do better than that.
I don't know. Rasp was pretty good.
That was a good one. 1 out of 3 ain't bad.
I don't know. Craft is a little stretching it, too, there, James.
No, it was good.
All right, that's it for today. Let's come back and do it again tomorrow.
Sounds good, everybody. Please be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Have a wonderful day. Ride your horses and spay, neuter, and geld.
See you, everybody.
I'm winning.
For about 2 more minutes.
I'm
going to
kick your butt. Kippy, pet. Great words.